This month, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be talking about commitment. And so we're going to be talking about commitment to the church. And so just for a few minutes on Wednesday night, just want to talk about commitment. I know I'm probably talking to the choir, but hopefully the choir will go out and talk to those who may not be as committed as they need to be to the church. And so I'm going to be talking about commitment to the morning assembly. We're also going to have a lesson talking about being committed to Wednesday night Bible study, commitment to our youth, commitment to the works of the church, and commitment to Bible reading and study. And so when we think about the idea of commitment, when you think about commitment, the word there is very interesting, for it means a state or quality of being dedicated. Being dedicated. And all of us are dedicated to something, to someone, to a cause, an activity, an engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action. I thought that was pretty interesting. When we think about an engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action, that means that this is what I'm obligated to and nothing's going to keep me from doing it. And that's very interesting and something that we need to be considering. Another definition I saw that was pretty interesting, a promise or firm decision to do something. And so we want to be committed, committed to the church. And so tonight we'll talk about commitment. Why commit to Sunday morning assembly? In Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, just for a few minutes, I want us to consider, why were the first century church so committed? Well, they were committed because they came together to break bread. That was their time to remember the Lord's death till he returned. And it's important for us as we are considering coming together on the first day of the week, we ought to have our minds made up. That's where I want to be because I want to remember what my Lord did for me. And so remember in Revelation 1, verse number 9 and 10, we find John, who was on the Isle of called Patmos, on the Lord's day. He was there on the Lord's day. And every first day of the week is the Lord's day. And we have to always keep that in mind, that I'm going to assemble with the brethren on the Lord's day to remember the Lord's death. He did a lot for me. I want to remember that. So why is it important for me to assemble on the first day of the week? Another reason is because of what it demonstrates. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verse number 22 through 26. 22 through 26. Real swiftly. Why should we be committed? In verse number 22, because it demonstrates a drawing near to God. A drawing near. How often do we draw near to God? Well, we ought to do it every day. James chapter 4. However, on the first day of the week, we are drawing near to God. In verse 23, it demonstrates a holding fast. Notice, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why are we coming together? It demonstrates that we're holding fast. I can guarantee you, when you find someone who is missing services on Sunday, on a regular basis, they stop holding fast. We're not talking about for medical reasons, not talking about for reasons that are understandable, but just because they're not holding fast to the doctrine of Christ, Brother Royce. And when you're not holding fast, guess what you begin to do? You begin to waver in your attendance. In verse number 24, it demonstrates our consideration of one another. And let us consider one another and stir up love and good works. Friends, are we committed to that? We must remain committed to that. And in verse 25, our need to exhort one another. Notice what he says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but here it is, but exhorting, encouraging one another. It's so discouraging when you know someone is not coming to service when they can come to service. So why commit to Sunday morning assembly? We commit because it's a privilege for us to give thanks to God. Look at Ephesians 5. You could easily look at verse number 18 and 19, and that's very important. But in verse number 20, I was thinking about this and considering some of the thoughts. Why do we come together? To give thanks. To give thanks to God. And so when you're thankful, guess what you do? You attend. When you're thankful, you tell God thank you. And you live accordingly. And notice the passage. Giving thanks always for all things to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to him. Well, I was thinking about that. I was considering how the church at Corinth had the same idea. But lastly, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Why do we come to services? Why should we come on Sunday morning? You know, I was thinking about the non-Christian, and when the non-Christian comes to Bible study, when they come to worship, they benefit. If they're really in tune, they benefit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 25. Verse 25. You go back and you read the rest of the context, but this context is dealing with worship. The whole chapter 14 is dealing with worship. Here is talking about the non-Christian. And notice the benefit that the non-Christian gets. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now, question. If the non-Christian can benefit from being in the New Testament worship because his heart has been revealed, the secrets of his heart has been revealed, what do you mean by that, Paul? That when the gospel is preached and he is preaching it correctly and giving good application, the things that's going on in our minds that should not be there ought to be exposed. And the next thing you know, we thank God that he reveals what's going on in my mind and I can do something about it. Man, I can do something about it now. Instead of the judgment day and I stand before God ready to give an answer and I can't do nothing about it then because it's already said and done. And so here the non-Christian can have the secrets of his heart revealed. He falls down before God, worship. What about the Christian? What a great privilege to be able to assemble on the first day of the week that our hearts can be revealed. And we can go and we can say, Father, I need to work on that. And I ask that you help me with that and give me wisdom to deal with that. What a blessing. But when you miss, you miss. And so next week we'll talk about Wednesday night, and then the following week we'll talk about the youth. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to consider obeying the gospel, studying with us, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of sins. But maybe you're a child of God, you need special prayer. Maybe you need help. All of us need help from time to time. If we can do anything for you, let us do that as we stand, as we sing.